Love Talk Radio.
Allow me to introduce myself. Who knows what dastardly crime he might perpetrate next?
He's a very clever arch criminal who must be put away. Another innocent victim.
I don't know.
Hello?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Voice of the People. It's the sixth man, Dean Geronimo. I'm in the studio real quick with my man, Mark Lee. Mark, what's going on with you?
I'm sitting over here just chilling, had a relaxing Memorial Day. Actually went into work at one of my jobs. We had a half day of work, so I went over there and checked that out. And it was only about, instead of a full, you know, 7-8 hours, we just worked about 4 or 5 hours. And then, of course, I had the big celebration yesterday that I posted about on Facebook and everything for Mama Lee, you know, my mom and everything, because she was celebrating one of them milestone birthdays. So we had close to 60 people over there celebrating with her, including a Congress lady that's the old-time friend of the family, Eva Clayton, and a couple of other people that were there that have known Mom for many years. So we just had a good old time and lots of good eating, lots of good times. You know, the young kids, cause Mom's got a swimming pool. We're in there jumping in the water, just having a dandy old time. So, you know, anytime you got swimming pool and you got kids under 16, you got all kinds of fun and splashing and things going on like that. And, of course, the older folks were having conversations just about the world. You know, we were talking about our good buddy, and I'm being sarcastic, Mr. Trump, and my brother actually, we were driving up, brought an interesting point up. And I want to know if you had heard this, but he went on the website because we've talked about how Trump has appointed crazy people to his office. But he went out to the website of the EPA, and he noticed that the EPA website, unless you go to, what do you call it, archive material, has totally erased any mention of climate change. Climate change does not exist as far as the EPA is concerned because that fool's in office. Because my brother went there, and he said, if you go to the first page, you can't find anything about climate change. You got to go to, like, the archive stuff because, you know, that fool doesn't think that exists.
Wow. They're getting rid of the evidence, huh?
They are getting rid of the evidence. What the scientists said, we are not printing it. It didn't happen. But, you know, he's getting rid of a lot of stuff because I was also reading the paper where, I think this was yesterday, he's thinking about firing some of his people and doing, like, an overhaul because he's still in hot water, including his son-in-law, over the Russian stuff. So, he said he's thinking about bringing in some of his old campaign advisors and some of the folks that helped get him elected and just basically doing like a complete overhaul.
Lord have mercy. This dude can't get it right, man. He can't get it right.
He cannot get it right whatsoever. But, you know, I've got to ask you this because I did notice this in the paper today, too, that I want to know if you caught this and if, maybe it's not just him that can't get it right, but it seems our entertainers can't get it right either. Because I saw earlier in the day that Tiger Woods got arrested for drunk driving.
Yes, and now, as of today, Tiger Woods knows his race. Brother, you are black. You know what I mean? Not Caucasian, not a mixture of this and a little bit of that. No, brother, you're black. And they locked your black ass up for having one too many drinks.
The police officers let him know what he was?
No, they have a picture of his booking photo circulating online, and where it says race, somebody just put a big old circle around it and said black. You know, so I'm like, brother, you denied it for years, but now you're in a situation where they let you know exactly what you are, because they didn't put other, they didn't put Caucasian. They put none of that stuff up there. You're black. Sorry, Eldridge.
They just said, Mr. Eldridge, Woods, you black. Are a brother. Mr. Woods, you're a brother whether you want to admit it or not.
You can act all like you're not. You can speak however you want to speak. You can deny all you want to deny. But at the end of the day, you're a black guy. He might be going through some things, though. You know,
he's going through some things. You know, the ladies ain't treating him the way they used to because, you know, he's picking up all the little blondies and all of that stuff. And I think they've been dropping him like a hot potato left and right. And, you know, he can't seem to buy a golf tournament. So in terms of victory, so he's got some stuff.
His time is up, man. You know, like, you ain't gonna win forever. Even remember when we everybody thought Mike Tyson was invincible until
right.
Buster Douglas put him down, you know, and then it was like, well, dang, he lost. Like, Tiger Woods is a golfer, all right, he's dominated. Then all of a sudden, they were like, damn, he lost. Well, he wasn't going to win forever, you know, so, and he probably thought, you know, I'm the best at this game. We'll be doing this for a while, and then age takes over. Some things don't move as fast as they used to, and you're not winning no more. You're coming in second and third or fifth or sixth, you know. So you're not the number one dude no more. There's somebody else coming up to take your spot, and you don't know how to handle that. So
exactly, and then there was speculation about the fact that Serena. Now she's about to have the baby, that her career may be on a downward spiral as well, because, you know, after she has the baby, she'll have baby fat and all of that stuff. So she probably won't be moving as fast or hitting as hard as she was either after that baby is born.
But she's the winningest tennis player of all time?
Yeah, so she don't need to prove anything.
Yeah, so she can go ahead and have 10 babies if she wants to. What they going to say? Oh, Serena got fat. Well, Serena was already fat. It's just a different type of fat. So now,
exactly.
So now she got some babies to go
with.
Yeah, and so now, like, what are you gonna say to somebody who has proven themselves? She has nothing else to prove on a tennis court, ever. She can walk away from this entire thing and still be all right. You know?
But she'd be the champion. If she walks away, she'd be the champion. But, you know, some people just don't know when to walk away from stuff. Because the other thing that I told the entertainment news, and I think this guy is just trying to get himself shot by all the feminists. But, you know, there was a time in the world when he had a hit TV show, and we are talking about a long time ago, and it was this brother named Kirk Cameron. But now Kirk Cameron's running around talking about the place of a woman is basically behind her man, and that's all she needs to do. She don't need to be trying to do nothing else, and she just needs to be basically... whatever she does in life is to make him better. So, you know, she's not.
He was on the show with Alan Thicke.
Right,
oh,
exactly.
Man, what was the name of that show?
Family Ties.
There you go. So he said, a woman's place. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah,
go and get yourself put out. And already a has been. Don't make
I mean, your show was on in what? The 70s and the 80s at the latest? So you already, nobody remembers your name. So now you're going to come out and say something stupid.
Yeah, they like Kirk who?
Exactly.
Be like, oh, you know what? That's the dude that was on the show with Robin Thicke Daddy.
All kinds of confused.
Yeah, like, dude, get it together.
Yeah, but he don't want to get it together. He cannot get it together. He wants to say something stupid.
Well, you know what? That makes money.
Yeah, he's just trying to say something to keep himself in the news. And speaking of in the news, you know what's going to happen eventually. Wall Street is not too happy. Wall Street is not too happy because I saw yesterday's paper. They said discomfort in the air starts on Wall Street. It says when an unlucky passenger was violently dragged off a full United Airlines flight in Chicago and airline in April, setting off a public relations nightmare for the company. Blame naturally fell on the cabin crew, police, and eventually airline executives. But ultimately, the episode was set in motion elsewhere on Wall Street. Relentless pressure on corporate America is creating increasingly Dixian experience for many consumers as companies focus on maximizing profits. And nowhere is the trend as stark as in the airline industry, whose service is delivered in an aluminum tube packed with up to four different glasses, cheek by jowl, 35,000 feet in the air. So Wall Street is already getting a little nervous about the airline industry. It says 5 years ago, American Airlines factored in on-time arrivals, lost baggage, and consumer complaints to help calculate annual incentive payments for top management. Today, these bonuses are based exclusively on the company's pre-tax income and cost savings.
United has also scaled back bonuses linked to reliability and customer satisfaction for senior executives. So it looks like the airline industry is taking a little bit of a hit because of what happened back in April and Wall Street and hit them on the Wall Street end. So, you know, it happened there. It'll be probably happening in other parts of the economic industry as well. So, you know, Trump's always speaking about he's bringing America back, but what's he bringing it back to? Are we coming back to a depression eventually?
So people are now realizing that companies were always based on a dollar bill. And they were never really about, they made you believe that it was about the customer service. But it was all about how much money could be made. We tell you what you want to hear. We get your money. We get your money. We can buy more stuff. We buy more stuff. It can be substandard, but because you like us, you'll still support us.
Still support us, exactly. And just to let you know how delusional that president that's running the country is, apparently recently, like a day or two ago, I think it was Saturday, he has claimed that his maiden trip abroad was a home run. And he has vowed to overcome the threat of terrorism, including a grueling five-stop sprint. He ended his 9-day trip with a speech to U.S. troops in Sicily, where he recounted his visits to Saudi Arabia, Israel, Belgium, and Italy, and his work to counter terrorism. The president said recent terrorist attacks in Manchester, England, and Egypt underscored the need for the U.S. to defeat terrorism and protect civilization. Terrorism is a threat to all of humanity, Trump said, standing in front of a massive American flag. And together, we will overcome this threat. We will win. Now, this is the same man that held no press conference during the 9-day trip so that nobody in the press could actually ask him any questions. So he just unilaterally declared that it was a success, even though nobody in the press could ask him any trips to confirm what happened or what didn't happen.
That's like having a party, and you advertise it for months and months, and three people show up, and two leave. And it's you and one other person the rest of the night listening to the DJ because you paid them. And somebody said, how was your party? Then my party was all that.
Because who's gonna argue with you? You paid the DJ, so you already told the DJ, so he ain't going to tell on you. And you probably paid off that one or two guests, so they ain't going to tell you on you. So, yeah, who's gonna deny that the party was all of that when there were four people and you paid off all four of them?
Right. And nobody's going to, hey, you paid me. I ain't saying nothing. Really? No. I get to take this for me? Yeah, because you can't take this money. All right. Now, I'll probably go tell somebody, man, you missed the party. It was giving out money. But other than that.
If I'm about to tell your wife, you'd be like, that party was whack.
Yeah, I'd be like, man, she'd be like, you're home early? Yeah, man, there's nobody there. Me, the DJ, and two other people. I can stay home and watch Netflix for this. Yeah.
And you go tell your wife, you go be like, if anybody asks, tell them the party was all that.
Yeah, the party was banging, man. You missed it. You might want to hit the next one. Make sure you get there early.
If the party starts at 9, get there at 7.
Yeah, get there at 7. Play the parking lot a little bit. Wait till the DJ start playing some music, and then fall up in there.
Fall up in there.
First one. You might be the only one.
As a matter of fact, if you fall up there at the right time, you might not have to pay nothing.
Yeah, they'll let you go on in. Come on in, man, you know. Or you have the DJ set up and just stay. Hey, man.
Just stay. You're the DJ's road manager.
Mm-hmm. And if you get in the 50-50 raffle, you get half the money that you would have paid back.
Right then and there. But yeah, they have gone totally crazy. Oh, so on the world of sports, you know, we're down to the two teams that we said it was going to be. It's Cleveland and Golden State. What else is there?
Yeah.
So who you got?
You know what? I'm not a big basketball fan, but if I had to pick, I would say I want to see Cleveland win another one.
You want to see Cleveland go back-to-back?
Just because. You know what I mean? Because I've watched all the arguments on Facebook, and everybody's arguing about who's better, Jordan or LeBron. But Jordan ain't playing. You know what I mean? Like, you can't compare the two games. The two different individual styles of play. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, man. It's like...
But people have wanted to do that forever. I mean, you got people trying to compare Bart Starr to Aaron Rodgers, and they're playing in two different eras.
Right. You know, so, I mean, that... You cannot take someone who came before and compare the game to someone who's there now. If they were playing the same era, yeah, I can understand the argument. But Jordan is enjoying life right now, you know what I mean? He can still play, I don't doubt that, but he ain't trying to suit up and go play to prove no point to nobody. He's proven his point.
He has made it clear that he is a great player, and he does not have to prove it to anybody else. LeBron is a great player. Now, I'm actually going to disagree with you, because I think this might be the year, because they go back and forth, and I think this might be Boston and L.A. We might have the same two teams in the next 6 or 7 years. And I really don't see anybody that's really coming to chase them down, really. So they might be somebody to take in every once in a while. But the next 6 or 7 might just be Finals, Golden State, Cleveland. And the thing about Golden State that I've noticed is that, one, they haven't lost a game yet. They went 12-0. Cleveland went 12-1, and they shouldn't have lost that one. But they just kind of, like, went to sleep that one game. And Golden State actually should have lost one that they didn't lose, which I think they game one of their series against the last series that they were in. They were down and came back from some ridiculous point when Leonard went down. But what I have noticed is that in none of the games, you know, they always advertise the Splash Brothers. Curry's showing up. The other one is showing up. Klay isn't showing up. So I figured in the championship, he's due to show up. So if you ain't showing up for 2 series or 3 series, you're due to show up. So I figured he may be the difference maker, and that's why I think Golden State might take it in the rubber match.
Hey, nothing wrong with that, man. Like I said, I'm waiting for September, man. Like, when football season kicks off, right now I got the Arena Football game holding me down. Philadelphia Soul are 7-0 right now, so, you know, they're on the road trying to get that back-to-back title, world champions last year, trying to repeat this year. So, you know, that keeps me occupied in the meantime. Because once the Super Bowl is over, man, I'm like, all right, let's get to April so we can get to the real football. And then that takes me through the summer. And then after that's done, it picks up.
I'm waiting for football. I'm waiting for football too. I'm waiting for football too, because I do the fantasy football thing too. So it's about time for me to start figuring out who I'm going to draft and all of that kind of stuff. So, but I have my favorite teams, and I hate to admit it. I'm talking to a friend of mine who's a Packer fan, and she was about ready to choke me when I told her that, because that I was not a Packer fan, because he's a diehard Packer fan, and I'm a diehard Vikings fan. So she was about ready to choke me over the phone. I was like, no, don't do that. Please, don't choke me over the phone. I've been rooting for this team for 30 years. She grew up near Green Bay and met Bart Starr and some of the other legends of the town. So I really couldn't, like, argue the point. So, you know, I was pretty much done, and there was no winning that argument. But she lives in the Vegas area, so I want to know from you, because you're a diehard football fan, are you ready for the Las Vegas Raiders?
That's going to be interesting, man. You know, I'm a Ravens fan, so, you know, I mean, I just want to see Marshawn Lynch get back on the field. You know what I mean? Beast mode will come back and do some good things. And it'll be interesting to see if they still hold on to the Al Davis motto, just win, baby. That's it. But Vegas is about to get a whole lot of money.
Oh, yeah. They're about to get paid. But I think she told me that the tickets are going to be like, you know, typical football tickets, like $100-something a ticket. So I don't think that my friend's going to be running to any games anytime soon unless they're playing the Packers. Since they're in a different league, that might not be happening except for maybe once, depending on how the schedule gets put out and everything.
Right.
But it's going to be
we'll see how well they fare. You know what I mean?
Yep.
It's going to be interesting to see. Because they moved before, so it's not like they moved for the first time. They broke out, went to Los Angeles, and then broke out, came back to Oakland. So now they broke out and went to Las Vegas.
But the question about Vegas is, what other professional sports does Vegas have? I haven't checked with my friends to see what they got, because I've got a couple of friends in Vegas. But as far as I can tell, I don't think they have any other professional sports. If they do, they're like semi-pro. So this might be their only professional sport. So that could be a good thing, because that's what happened with, well, when Carolina got the Hornets, because that was the first team. The Panthers came later, but there was no real professional sports. There have been other teams, like the Cougars had been around in the ABA way back when, and there was tons of semi-professional sports. And we got the Railhawks, which is soccer, which is semi-pro, I believe. No, it's actually professional, too. But there's a professional sport. It was first basketball and now football. But for a while, North Carolina didn't have any. That's why, as I was telling my friend, that's why some of us became Redskins fans or Falcons fans, because those were the only two teams that were nearby. And some of us didn't like either one of them, so then we went with other teams. In my case, I went with the Vikings.
Right.
The Bears. I got some of his friends went with the Cowboys because, you know, there was, unless you're going to go geographically, which was Atlanta and Redskins, you just wind up picking other teams.
Right. And everybody has their favorites. I like watching when people dog the Cowboy fans. They get on them. The Cowboy fans hold their own, but man, it's some trash talking when it comes football season.
Oh yeah, there's some serious trash talking. All you gotta do is go to a sports bar, and folks will be talking trash about whoever their squad is, and might not have ever set foot in the stadium because I know I ain't never set foot in either of the Minnesota stadiums, but I've been a fan, but I have never set foot in either one of their stadiums. I have set foot, I think, two, maybe three times in the Panther Stadium, because as we got a team, that became my other team. So I have really two teams, my old-time, lifelong fan team and then the hometown team.
Mm-hmm.
Or the home state team, as the case would be.
Yeah, man. So it's interesting. It's going to be interesting again, you know?
Oh, yeah, it's going to be real interesting. We're going to see how these players did that decided to go, you know, lead and come out, and we're doing great. Like, we still can't figure out in the Carolinas why the Bears picked the quarterback from Carolina who only had, like, very few snaps and no real championship games, but they picked him, like, number in the top 10. And we're sitting there going, like, why?
Maybe
y'all know something
that we can't.
Maybe y'all know something we don't know.
Right. And that's the thing, man. You never know, because they may go to one team and bomb out and get to the next team and ball out, you know. So you never know.
You never know at all.
He may be that dude, like, y'all got this dude. He is garbage. And then he gets on the field and he's a Pro Bowler. Like, how did that happen?
Yep. Yeah.
We'll have to find out how that plays out.
When I scheduled our guest, I did not know, but give the number again, because I did send him an email, but I have not heard back. But we may have to reschedule him. When I scheduled him, I forgot that the day was Memorial Day. So, like I said, if Mr. Kenny calls, hopefully we'll hear from him. If not, we'll hear from him definitely in the month of June. But, you know, we were doing our scheduling of stuff. I was like, oh, something's going on Monday, the 29th? What is it? Oh, that's right. Memorial Day. So he may be doing the same thing Ty's doing. They both may be having their respective picnics. Now, her in Hawaii and him somewhere here in North Carolina. Of course, he got family in St. Louis and I think some other family like around New York. So he could be having his picnic anywhere. So, and Ty's probably best, like, her husband is military, so they might be doing, like, some big-time military blowout picnic. She's at a base in Hawaii. She might be having a margarita and just chilling. So, you know, since she's over there by the base, so there's no telling what's going on with Miss Lady, because she might be sitting there going, like, hey, this is a party time.
Yeah, like, oops, I was supposed to do something else. I can't remember what it was, but let me sip this drink one or two times. But it's the voice of the people, y'all. We're here. Phone lines are open, 646-668-8393. If you're listening in, give us a shout. It's Dean Geronimo, the sixth man, and co-host Mark Lee. Our host is, again, partying for Memorial Day, but we're here for a few more minutes.
Yeah, so if you want to talk about sports, if you want to talk about politics, because we know that we got some folks out there that got all kinds of interesting opinions about Mr. Trump and interesting opinions about what's going on in their
respective states and things of that nature. So no matter what's going on, or maybe you just want to talk about what's happening in your world, in your musical entertainment world, or just in life in general, because we like to hear what folks have just got going on. Because, you know, sometimes we even have our Frasier moments where you might just need some advice, and we'll sit there, and me and Dean will try to give some solid advice, and if we can't figure it out, we'll do some research and turn it over to those that might have better expertise than us. But if it's something about life, we might be able to figure it out, and we can go from there if y'all got something that y'all need some help or some advice on. You know, Dean's been has lived life, I've lived life, so we both run into situations. So just based on our life experiences, we might be able to figure out something and be like, this is what you should do, because that's not what we did. So it didn't work for us. If you try the opposite, it should work.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's kind of my philosophy. It's the same philosophy you give to your kids, and I don't have any, but I do have my nephews. You know, if you think about something, they come up with you and they're like, you know, I'm thinking about playing football, and I'm all of about 90 pounds. And you think to yourself, you're like, when I was your age, I was about that time, about that height, and about that weight. The reason I didn't play is because I didn't want to get smashed. Nah, I don't think you need to play.
For sure.
Or sometimes you'd be like, you know, they might come up to you and be like, hey, you know, I saw this nice young lady, I was trying to pass her some flowers, and she just ignored me. She didn't want to pay any attention. And you start thinking back to your days of being a young man, courting and things of that nature. And you were like, you know, I tried to be Mr. Persistent, and I kept trying to come after them, and they kept ignoring me. So then you tell them, look, if she ignored you the first time, it might be time to go on to the next one, because, you know, I tried to go on and on and on, and we never got anywhere after 3 years. So sometimes your experiences are enough that you can be like, nah, you don't want to make that same mistake that I made.
Exactly. We could tell you something, you know, but... yes.
So hopefully the folks will give calls and let us know what's going on in their mind. Who knows, time might even get away from her margarita or her other drink of choice, whatever that may be, and come back to us and be like, hey, this is what's going on in Hawaii. You know, I'm trying to figure out, have you been to Hawaii? Because I was telling one friend of mine, I've yet to get past any of the West Coast areas. So I haven't been to L.A., I haven't been to Portland, I haven't been to Seattle, and I definitely have not been to Hawaii, but they are on my dream list. So which of the West Coast towns have you gotten to, Mr. Dean?
When you count West Coast, you know, I've been out to Vegas, you know.
Okay.
Been to Oakland, been to Los Angeles. Other than that, still got to add on some places. Like you said, never been to Seattle. You know, some other places that I want to check out. I'm not trying to go to, like, I don't know. I'm not trying to get Idaho nowhere, but.
I'm not either. That's why I was shocked when my friend, my old high school classmate that graduated about a year before I did, told me that she was getting ready to take a job. She'd been working in North Carolina. She's been other places. She had a job in Ohio at one point, and she's had a job in other places. But she told me in about 2 to 3 weeks that she's going to be taking a job, I believe, with the USDA. In Nebraska. And the only thing I can think of is, why?
Hey, they must be paying a whole lot of money, man. I'm not trying to go there either. But, I don't know, like, Midwest? I don't know. Not Nebraska, though. Like, not trying to find it. Not trying to find North Dakota. Not trying to see South Dakota. You know, I mean, those places for me, I'm like, all right, well, if I'm going through there, I'm not trying to stay there. But, you know, Wyoming's out. Montana's out.
Yeah, Wyoming's out.
Utah's out. All right, I might want to check out Arizona or Colorado. But,
right.
You know, when you get to Oregon, nah.
Well, they say Portland's a nice town. I could do Portland.
Well, I out of curiosity, but you know, like I said, if I'm going through there, if that's a layover to get somewhere else, then yeah, sure, I'll check it out. But I'm not in no big rush to get there. I don't know. I guess people that were born on the West Coast feel the same way about the East Coast. You know, like, if I, like, what is in North Carolina, Virginia, Maryland, Delaware, Pennsylvania, New Jersey? What's there? You know.
Well, you know, they're finding out what's there in terms of North Carolina, because North Carolina just got rated again among one of the tops. And this time, this might shock you, but it was rated as one of the top places to go, along with Charlotte and some other places. I don't remember all of them. It was about 10 of them. But definitely Durham, Raleigh area, and Charlotte were listed for the place for those people that are younger than you, me, and my younger brother to go to. But those millennials, they are rating it as a top place to come to. And they're saying because of, of course, education here with the top universities, but also because of the high-paying tech jobs once you get your degree and everything, and just the cost of living not being too bad, and there being lots of things to do for young people, as well as even folks that are getting up in age to do as well. But they rated it as one of the top 10 places. I think Charlotte might have been I want to say Durham might have been number one, and I want to say Charlotte might have been like number eight. But for the millennials, they're saying, come on to North Carolina.
Oh, wow. Nothing wrong with that.
They said, you millennials, if y'all are looking for someplace to come on to, this is the place to come to.
That's just like back in the days when everybody was going down to Atlanta, man. Like, boom, they were headed down there, like, come on down, come on down. It's going to be the new place to be. And they sure did go down there and took over, you know what I mean?
Well, and that's kind of the dilemma that folks, because one of my friends was mentioning that on Facebook, that's kind of the dilemma that people are having, because part of what the appeal of Durham, and even to some degree, less so Charlotte, because Charlotte is such a banking center kind of area, and there's a little bit more, what do you call it, definitely more cosmopolitan, but also a little bit more, doesn't have the same kind of grittiness that Durham has. And that's what some of the fear that definitely the art community has around here is that they want people to understand the appeal of Durham and to even come down here and check it out. But at the same time, they don't want them to bring too many crazy ideas that change the whole nature of it, which is kind of what you're saying to some degree happened to Atlanta. They, you know, they came down there and it doesn't have the same flavor that it used to have, because the good thing about an influx of new people is that they bring new ideas, but sometimes those new ideas also change the whole nature of the town. So that's kind of the dilemma.
Right.
But definitely Durham and to some degree Raleigh, and definitely and to an even lesser degree Charlotte are facing it. They're trying to figure out a way to get this growth down here, but at the same time maintain their identity. And it's not even the bigger cities, because the ones I named are our biggest cities, but even some of our smaller town cities, like where my mom lives at, Rocky Mountain. I was just talking to a friend of mine, and they've got a thing called Rocky Mountain Meals. Because one of the things, I don't know whether they're doing that in your neck of the country, but one of the things that they're doing here is that they're finding these old buildings, warehouses, and things of that nature, and converting them. So, like the place that I used to live at called West Village, that was a converted tobacco warehouse. And the American Tobacco was, which is like an office complex, was converted tobacco and other industries that were in there. So they converted these into either offices or apartments and things of that nature. And they're doing the same thing in Rocky Mountain. They got a thing called Rocky Mountain Meals, which they're going to teach people the whole wonders of microbrewing and brewmastering and things of that nature. But they're also going to have a restaurant and like a little theater-type deal, and I think some cafes and just like apartments. But what it was an old, I think in their case, it was either a maybe either tobacco mill or cat mill, but they're going to try to convert that into some stuff. So they're doing a lot of, what do they call it, retrofitting of spaces here in North Carolina. So things that were sitting empty and vacant, they're finding new uses for them, whether that's as an apartment or as a business center or whatever. So it's going to be interesting, because I want to say that they're a little bit behind schedule, but they're definitely humming along, and looks like they're going to get it done probably by, let's say, at the earliest 2018, at the latest 2020. So that's kind of the way things are going here, where they're trying to create new opportunities. And the other thing that we have to be careful about, I mean, we as folks that represent the minority class, is that too often these ideas come and people start singing these ideas, and sometimes we can be Johnny come lately. So we're sitting there going like, yeah, that sounds good in theory. That sounds good in theory. And we might have one or two that want to jump on board or to tell us how great it is and everything. But then we got a lot of naysayers. And then as soon as everything takes off, we're the first ones crying that we should have been getting more of a piece of the pie because, you know, it's all of them and none of us. And we're sitting there going like, the folks didn't know, like, we tried to tell y'all back in the day, y'all didn't want to listen. Y'all didn't want to, like, put up, you know, get together. If you ain't got the money yourself, get together with 5 or 6 of your friends, 10 of your friends, and, you know, if each of y'all put up a couple of hundred, y'all got a couple of thousand that y'all might be able to invest in, have a piece of the pie, and then you wouldn't be crying about not being in the game.
Exactly. You wouldn't have nothing to fuss about anyway.
Yeah, because, I mean, you can't fuss about it if people have put you in the loop and you didn't, and you the one that chose not to jump into it.
Right. Get it together. If you're going to do it, don't talk about it, be about it, you know?
Exactly. We got some folks who just want to talk about it and not actually try to have any progression about the idea. And that's on all things. So we got some folks who do the same thing about wanting to do this or that in everything from jobs to relationships to just life in general. And then when it doesn't go the way that they want it to go, then they're sitting there going like, I could have, would have, should have.
Mm-hmm. And then you're angry.
then they sit there angry, like John, like, you know, they sit there crying, talking about like, but John got Holly, and I should have been the one with Holly, or John or Jane sitting over there with that $1 million business, and that should have been me.
Right.
Like, yeah, but did you do anything to follow up the way that John or Jane did? No. And how you figure that was supposed to be you?
Right. Let it go. Find something that you can jump on.
And jump on it.
Yeah. Come
back to the climate thing. I was actually looking at the paper as we were talking, and I see that Mr. Trump has also declined to endorse the Paris Climate Accord. Then he would decide in the coming days whether the United States would pull out of the 195-nation agreement. Trump's lack of a decision after 3 days of contentious private debate and intense lobbying by other leaders came even as the 6 other G7 nations reaffirmed their commitment to cutting planet warming emissions in a joint statement issued Saturday afternoon. The lobbying essentially ended in a stalemate, with Trump remaining opaque about his intentions regarding the 2015 pact as he prepared to return home. So, he, once again, he doesn't want to, like, jump in the middle of everything. He says in a message on Twitter, in a message on Twitter posted before the joint statement was officially released, Trump said, I will make my final decision on the Paris Accord next week, !
Oh, boy. Don't let this guy decide nothing. And please don't make sure he stays away from the nuclear football. Because if he gets a hold of that, he's just going to start pushing the button for no reason. No congressional approval, nothing. Hey, what does this do?
Yeah, we just need to keep him away from a bunch of stuff. We need to keep him away from bills. We need to keep him away from buttons. We need to just... he needs to stay in... what's that place? Mar-a-Lago as much as possible.
Yes. Please go to Mar-a-Lago and stay there. Don't even worry about coming back. In fact, just make it your home forever. And we will
now,
be
what what did you think about this thing that people were trying to read into stuff about the hands not being held and there may be discord in the home front as well? I did hear that last week, too, that folks were speculating as to whether she's not too happy and that she might be trying to find her exit button as well.
Who, Melania?
Melania, right.
You know what? I don't even think... You know what? I had said something one day and somebody told me I was wrong. I said he spends more time with his daughter than he spends with his wife. And there was a comment that he made at one point talking about how hot his daughter was. And I was like,
wow.
Dude, that's some old incestuous type stuff. Like, what about your wife? You know what I mean? Like, he keeps her if you look at some of those clips, like she'll be smiling, then he'll whisper something to her, and her whole face will change. Like, I don't know if she's in a, and she may not realize it, she's probably in an abusive relationship. Does he hit on her? No. But the verbal abuse is something terrible. So he may be doing that, you know what I mean? And who knows? He probably telling her, act right or I'm a, you could be my first deportation. Like, I will deport you. Yeah, I'll send you back. I've been married before, so it ain't like you the first one. You know, you're not the first wife. You like the third wife. Get out of here.
So, and it seems to me that he does have a habit of cheating on each wife when he's with one, because I think he was already with Ivanka's mother when he got up with Melania or somebody that worked. But he was, you know, he likes to have his cake and eat it too, and trying to have two or three at the same time before he dumps one and then brings the other one on as the wife. But it seems like there's a lot of dual company going on at the same time.
But just sloppy with it. Like, bruh, come on, man. If you, okay, you cheating, and you just let the whole world see it. Like, it is what it is. Like, no, man. Get yourself together.
No, but you know, the man just cannot get himself together. He just can't get himself together at all. Because the other thing that I noticed, I mentioned, I think, to a buddy of mine, but I have not noticed if you noticed it. But, you know, if Obama had done what I'm about to describe, the press and everybody else would have been all over him. But there was a time, and I once, maybe it was on either Friday or Thursday, he was walking down by one of the military stations, like near the airport. I think it was Air Force One, but it was like somewhere that he had to walk by soldiers. Now, given some of these presidents do not give the best salute in the world, I have not been ever in the military, but I do have relatives, including a close cousin and some others that have been in the military, and uncles and uncles, and uncles. Yeah, uncles, I don't think any aunts, but definitely uncles that have been in the military, and some in-laws, like my cousin's wife has been in the military. So I'm saying some people are much better at saluting than others, and they say Obama's salute wasn't the best, but at least he tried to salute. I literally saw, and I'm going to try to pull it, find it, see if I can find it and post it, but Trump walked by, the people gave the military salute, you know, hands to the forehead and everything. Trump didn't even bother to do any form of a salute back, and I thought that was just standard courtesy, that if you were saluted, whether you're a civilian or not, particularly if you're supposed to be the leader of the free world and the leader of the military as the president, that you're supposed to salute back. I thought it even was just like you can tell me if I'm wrong, but I thought like if you're a common civilian, salute, that if you saluted as a common civilian for what they're supposed to salute back to you. But oh boy, just walked by as so nonchalantly, and there was no decorum in there at all. And I'm sitting there going like, I said, only thing I know about military is when I studied in college, but because we did have ROTC people there, and of course there was some military mentioned in some of our poli-sci courses. So that's the only thing I know about military. I didn't have any direct experience, but I do have friends and acquaintances in the military, and I definitely thought that if a military man saluted the president, who was supposed to be his leader, that he's supposed to salute back. But homeboy, he just walked in so nonchalant and no even attempt to salute back. I'm sitting there going like, if Obama had done that, if Bush had done that, if anybody had done that, that mess would have been all over the press.
Hey, he would have been out of office the next day. They'd be like, oh, President Obama, we told y'all he was Muslim. We told y'all. We told you. Now we got to get him out of office. Why? Not anything he did personally, but he did do something personal, and he didn't salute.
But homeboy did not do it, and just basically, as far as I know, now you tell me if I'm wrong. Like I said, I am not a military person, so I know you're not, but you do have friends in the military like I do. But I was always told that if that happened, that was almost like a form of a diss.
Right. And that's a sign of disrespect. I salute you, and you don't give me anything back. Come on, man. Get out of here. Good old Tangerine Tyrant.
Yep, that's it.
But
I like that name, the Tangerine Tyrant.
Yeah, man, that's the Tangerine Tyrant, man. You know, and I mean, I wouldn't even know if he were somewhere and we were in the same place. I'd be like, dude, I got a question for you. Like, I'm not trying to jump on you. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. But did you ever really want to be the president? Because it's just like, you just doing what the hell you want to do. You ain't doing that anyway. But you beat out 16 other Republicans, and then you beat the Democrat for the nomination, like for the nomination and the presidency. Did you ever really want to be the president? Or was it all a game from the beginning and you just playing it out to see where it goes?
I think that's what it is. I think it was all the game from the beginning. He's playing it out to see where it goes. Because, I mean, think about it. You're right. Out of the 16 people that he beat, he's appointed at least two or three of them to other offices that they have no qualifications for. Ben Carson, we were just talking about the EPA guy, but you got Ben Carson running, what is it, HUD, Housing and Urban Development, and he lived in maybe the project for all of about 2 seconds when he was little. If that, and hey, there's still some question as to whether he actually lived in the hood, because some people say he lived more like on the fringe of the hood.
He lived on the side of the hood, across around a block from the hood. He wasn't in the hood, probably. And then said poverty is a state of mind. Boy.
Yes, he did say poverty is a state of mind. And if anybody, I think he said anybody can get out of poverty, it was some ridiculous amount of time that anybody could get out within that time.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I think it was like within a year. So he was basically saying that if he went broke and became absolutely dead broke poor, that he could be out of poverty. Well, I think it was somewhere like within a year or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Like, come on, man. You're really killing yourself right now. Like,
well,
if that were the case, there would be no poor people.
Exactly.
No.
But
no
all
one
killing themselves. But they're all killing themselves. You also got Betty DeVos, the education person who has no clue what she's doing with education.
Oh, she said we're going to consolidate. We're going to have one federal loan servicer for everybody's student loans ever. And we're going to get rid of the public service loan forgiveness program. So for public employees, and the way that program is set up, to my understanding, there's a couple of people I know that are enrolled in it. But the payments are ridiculous. Like, the monthly payments are like $400 a month.
Oh, yeah.
Trick is, and they try to make you think that, okay, after 10 years, whatever balance you have is forgiven. But if you're paying $400 a month, and let's just say your bill is $50,000, well, you figure in 48 months, you pay all but probably about $4,000 or $5,000. So did
exactly.
you really get a deal, or did you get stuck? You know what I mean? Like, did you come out on top? Not really, because then they ended up making a whole lot of money off of you. You know what I mean? Meanwhile, some people have that same $50,000, and on a regular income-based repayment plan, you're paying like $155 a month. So I'm saving $250 by doing the regular plan. I just have to pay it till it's all down. But there's no, you know, time limit. It's not saying, oh, in 10 years you have to be finished your payments and there's a balloon payment in the back. So it's like, is that program really, did they set it up the way it was intended, or did they set it up real quick and then think it all the way through? Now you got somebody coming in and say, you know what? We get rid of this program altogether.
Yeah, like I said, the whole thing makes no sense. But then, you know, they're also talking about, like, really putting a serious dent in folks' Medicare, food stamp, and things of that nature. Now, one of my cousins who is a GBI officer, Georgia Bureau of Investigations, at one point he was doing criminal investigations, but now he's doing investigations of disability fraud. And he did bring up a good point, but at the same time, I don't know if we need to toss out the, what's the expression about the bathwater? You know, we need to toss the bad bathwater in order to get rid of the bad apples, but that's not the expression. You know, Because he did bring up a good point, because he said that even what he's investigating in Atlanta, he said he's only touching, like, the tip of the barrel of the amount of fraud that is going on, because there are a lot of folks that are finding ways to cheat the system, be that through welfare, be that through Social Security fraud, be that through whatever. So he's having a hard time investigating and catching them all that he could catch, because it's that rampant. But at the same time, for those of us that are doing it right, do you want to punish them that are doing it right because you're going to cut out that much? That's my question. Because, like I said, I understand you might have to find ways to tighten the enforcement so those that are not doing it right are punished correctly or at least don't get the benefits that they're supposed to get. But at the same time, do you want to hurt those that are going into the system the correct way?
I think they need to really go through the entire roles. And if they're individuals who are not disabled, special needs or what have you, if you are able-bodied, you shouldn't have it. I'm not big on that part. But for those who are disabled, special needs, or if they fell on hard times, even if they're able-bodied, that's what it was supposed to be for. You got some people who ride the system, man, they never work a day in their life, and they just ride the system, and they get more benefits health-wise and everything else than we do, and we work every day. And that's the issue that I have. You know, if you fall on hard times, you're supposed to have that assistance. And yes, they should provide that for you and give you a time limit. Like, all right, after a year, we're going to give you assistance for a year. As soon as you get back on your feet, please notify us or this or whatever. Boom. And then to bridge that gap, because people do fall on hard times. But some people grow up and learn how to manipulate the system. So now not only are they getting food stamps and they have a place to stay, which they pay minimal rent, but they have the SSI benefit and everything else. And, I mean, hell, if you got a place to stay and you got a means to get some food, you really don't need anything else.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? You're not hungry, you're not homeless, and you got health care. So, I mean, do I have to work? Heck no. I can stay at home and just chill all day long.
And you got some folks, that's all they do. They use that money that they get. They, like you said, they pay their rent. They stock up their food, and if they get sick, they got the coverage to go into the doctor's office, whether that's a clinic or whatever, and then the rest of the time, they're just chilling. They might be getting their 40 or just chilling, just on GP chilling, not even with a 40, but just them and their family or whatever. But, yeah, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're talking about. People out there that got that kind of hustle going on and are definitely milking the system, as they put it, and I could really argue with them because there are definitely some folks out there that are finding ways to milk the system, but I do think that does not mean that those that deserve it don't need to find ways to get it. And some of these cuts that they're talking about, like cutting out school lunches and cutting out food stamps and cutting out Medicare and a bunch of other stuff, that's not cutting it, in my opinion.
No, not at all, because then you try to punish everybody for the actions of the minority. Take those individuals and tell them, hey, look, you're coming up off of this. There will be no more SNAP card benefits, Medicare benefits, or anything for you. I don't care how many doctors you pay to say that you suffer from this and that, but do you really? You know what I mean? We're looking for some follow-up documentation, and we can't find it because you don't go to a doctor for anything. You just got to declare you mentally unstable or what have you, and now you're just riding the system.
Ride it all day long, and that old show, which is a fictional character, but the A-Team showed us that anybody can, if they know what to do, can take that mental stuff.
Mm-hmm. Real quick.
Because there are some people there are some real people out there that are just like Murdoch was on that TV show, that they are not as insane as they would have you think they are, but they have figured out a way to milk the system so that you and the system think that they are, so they can get whatever money they're going to get. Because there's some real folks out there like him and Klinger and some of the other fictional characters that we have seen on TV that have done that. But there's some real folks that have done that as well.
Mm-hmm. And then what do you do with them?
Yeah. Folks can go find a way to, and I've ridden with some. You know, not everybody with a disability sticker actually got a disability.
Yeah.
That's a big hustle, because you got a lot of folks that they find a simple disability in order to get themselves a disability sticker, and that, or somebody in their family has a disability sticker, and they wind up inheriting it, Next thing you know, they as able-bodied as they can be, but you look in their car and they got a disability sticker.
Yeah. And for those who, you know, have disabilities, it took me years before I got one of those stickers, man, because I was like, nope, I don't want to do that. You know, I'm like, I'm not as bad off as somebody else.
Right.
And then after I had my surgery, you know, the doctor was like, well, check this out. You're going to need this right here. And I was like, no, man, I'm still good. He was like, anything can happen. And you don't want to be that far away from help if you need it. So I'm going to give it to you. It's up to you whether you go and get it. And then I finally broke down and said, you know what? Let me just go ahead and get it because I might need it. You know what I mean? I may just need it.
So you had the same idea about disability that many people have, and I'm guilty about it as well, about doctors and dentists. Most of us try to find a way, even though we know we should go to them on a regular basis, we try to find a way to avoid them because we're afraid of what either the dentist might tell us about our mouth with cavities or what the doctor might tell us just about our body in general. So, you know, a whole lot of us, because they say you're supposed to go, what, at least once every 2 or 3 years, and I know a whole lot of folks, myself included, that is not our average because we are we've got a little bit of that fear about what the doctor may say, particularly if we know that we're a certain amount of overweight or certain things going on within there, going like, do I really want the doctor to tell me what I'm already thinking might be going on? And the bad thing about it is that 9 times out of 10, I'm not saying all the time, but sometimes those fears are self-fulfilling prophecies and they're real. So you might be thinking this or that is going on, and the doctor, you go to the doctor and this or that is going on. But a lot of times, those fears are nowhere near the reality. So you go to the dentist or you go to the doctor, and the dentist will look at you like, how come I haven't seen you for 15 years? Yeah, you got a few cavities, but you ain't got you ain't got the cavities you thought you had. And I definitely should have seen you like at least more than 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah, dental hygienist mad as hell. You got to pry that stuff off in between your gums. Like, come on, man. Your teeth feeling liberated after you leave the dentist. Like, damn, why I feel all these spaces in between my teeth? That's because it's clean, buddy. We got that plaque up out of there. You had a bridge up there holding your teeth to your gums. They had to scrape that stuff away, man.
Yeah, but we have to care. But, you know, we got those deep fears. We got those deep fears about doctors. We got those deep fears about dentists. And I even know some people that got deep fears to this day. And we're talking the 21st century about banks. Because I know some people that keep their money still to this day in their equivalent of the mattress or the piggy bank or whatever you want to call it.
See, and that's crazy. Because if you go over their house and lift the mattress up and take the money, they what are they going to tell you? Oh, I had exactly $26,000 in the house. Prove it. Prove that those bills belong to you. Like, or God forbid, there's an emergency in the house and all the money burned up with the house. Like, okay. Oh man. So now you have no actual. You can't file an insurance claim for the money you had in the house.
What?
So now you just got to take a loss on that. But it is a lot of people. We were taught poor money management lessons.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, the older folks used to always say, never put your eggs and all your eggs in one basket and always save something for a rainy day. Those are cryptic messages because for a young person, it's like, okay, so it's raining today, so am I supposed to spend some money? You know, and not really going into detail about what that meant. This is what you need to do. This is what you may want to save for. You may want to have more than one account so you can put money in different places. That way you can spend some money if you want to invest in stocks or whatever it may be. You can do that. You don't have to. Some people do. Some people don't. Some people like mutual funds. Some people like the bonds. You know, that was the old school thing. You get some bonds and let them mature and then cash them out.
Right.
You either roll it into another bond or keep the money, you know, stuff like that. But
I seen bond at one point.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, with the new way of thinking, it's all about the materialistic stuff. So all your designers and stuff like that, they make money hand over fist because they're like, hey, get the new whatever it may be, and they get one star to either be seen wearing it or to say something about it, and they all run to the store, and now they want to buy, like, these belts, Gucci. Like, we've seen Gucci for years, and, yeah, so stuff was overpriced. But now you see one person buy a Gucci belt, like, $500. I'm not paying $500 for something to hold my drawers up on my waist. I can go to Marshall's and get a nice, decent belt for $15. You know what I mean? Like, or the Sears.
I know exactly what you meant, because I had that happen. I had a, this belt I got now probably is almost on an old leg, so I need to get another one or two. But I had a situation similar to this about several months back. And I was in Chapel Hill, the town near Durham, and it was one of them fancy little department stores. I walked in there, I think they sold, like, jackets and suits and belts. And I walked in there, and the gentleman behind the counter, I said, how much is that belt going to cost me? Because that's what I was looking for. I was looking for a $15, $20 belt, like I knew I could get at Sears. I just happened to not be near the Sears at that time. He told me, he said something like $80, $90. I turned right back around and said, that's all right. I'll see you tomorrow.
You ain't lying. I would use a bed sheet and cut that joint up and make a belt before I spend $90 for one belt? Nah, buddy.
For one belt.
Damn, like, I'll wear that joint everywhere. Have it on with some elastic shorts. They'd be like, why? This doesn't have place for belt buckle. I mean, belt loops. Well, because of what I paid for it, I'm going to wear it everywhere.
You're going to wear it until it's a rubber band.
I'm going to wear it until it disintegrates, the damn thing fall apart. We spent $90 on it. Hell, you got to get your money's worth out of that. Yeah.
Exactly. But you're right. You got these people, they see those celebrities, and they want to just spend the money like the celebrities are spending it. You sit there going like, and the funny thing is that the celebrity claims he's wearing it, but, you know, 9 times out of 10, that belt, that shoe, that hat, whatever the product is, that watch that they claim the celebrity is wearing, if he's wearing it in the commercial, I bet you catch him in the club or out in the street at the restaurant with his lady friend or his wife. He ain't got none of that stuff on. He got on a regular old T-shirt, a regular old shirt, and stuff that he might have even bought from Goodwill or some other discount store. But you
right,
think he's sitting there thinking he paid all his money, and he's over there saving his money.
Yeah, they let him. They let him wear it for the show or whatever it was, and he turned around and sent it right back. He is not spending that money on this stuff.
No, he's not spending that money. Oh, speaking of money on stuff, this is another question I got for you. You brought up the finance and the things of that nature and the banking. And we just talked about that real briefly. My question to you is this. In this 21st century, and you're a married man with kids, do you think, one, should the kids have their own money accounts, or should they just go with their parents' accounts, or are you a big fan of the kids having their accounts? And the bigger question is, do you think the couple should have separate accounts, or should they all do it all jointly together?
Well, to answer the first question, the children need to have their own account. When parents have the account with kids, you know, it tends to become, it's not really clear on whose money is what. You know, when the child has their own, and like my parents used to take me to the bank, and I had to take the bank book, and I had to give them my money and the bank book. They wrote it down, they stamped it, they gave it back to me, and I knew how much money I had. So as I got older, they just had to sign it over to me. They didn't have to go in, and now I'm 18. I wasn't 18 years old going in the bank, opening up a bank account. I was getting my bank account signed over to me. With all the little money that I had saved over time, spent a little, saved a little, but now I have my own account and I am ready to, you know, make deposits and withdrawals on my own because I was taught growing up. So I thank my parents for that. And then on the second part of that question, there should be, I believe, one household account. And if you have enough, a household savings. The man keeps his own accounts. The woman keeps hers. You take the bills, and based on who makes more money, however you figure out that percentage to be, that's how much money goes into the household account every month.
Yeah,
because what's left over is yours, what's left over is hers. And if you,
right.
if you, you know, at least you know all the household stuff is taken care of. So that, you know, when you mix it all together and then somebody may go out and buy a new whatever, and then it becomes an argument because it's like, we had that money, well, we got to pay this bill, we got to pay that bill, you're not able to effectively track what's going on. But if you have that household bill and nothing comes out of that account except household things, then you know, all right, well, we have that money in there, time to pay the mortgage, boom, time to pay the light bill, boom, time to pay the water bill, boom, we're done. We got all of the, you know, electric, cable, phone, cell phones, whatever. Now you have your own money. If you
yeah,
are spending,
she decides,
well,
then, go buy a little dress on her own, that's on her. If you decide you want to go
right.
buy a toy for your computer and or a toy that fits into your car, that's on you.
Right, because you're spending your money, you're not taking away from the house. You know what I mean?
Right.
And some people are like, oh, it's all household money. Well, no, it's not. You know what I mean? You still got to have some for you. Now, if you want to buy something for the house and you use your money, then fine. Nothing's
right.
wrong with that. But you're still able to take care of everything in the house and then have a few dollars over there on the side for what, if anything, that you want to do. So that's just my opinion on that.
No, I think you got a good opinion, but I agree with you on that, and I also don't have any problem with because I know I've got some friends that have problems with this, but on that similar idea, but not so much the money. I also think that, in my opinion, the woman wants to have a certain amount of friends that are like kind of like the household money. If y'all got common friends, that's cool. But if you got a couple of friends that are her friends and her friends alone, that are only her friends. Everybody ain't got no
right.
friends to talk with. So sometimes those are friends that you may never have bonded with when y'all got together, or that you may have picked up from work or other places that are not near you when y'all are together.
Mm-hmm. And that, that keeps down a lot of the arguments. They said, you know, money is a big issue in the breakup of a lot of relationships.
Wait, they say
really
money's a big issue, and they also say that non-mutual friends are the other thing, because sometimes it can be a double-edged sword, because on the one hand, they can definitely be good to have in the relationship because it keeps you from just being totally dependent on that significant other of yours, but at the same time, they can also, sometimes if they have ulterior motives, they can be the ones that are whispering stupid stuff in the ears and everything. But if you are smart enough and your other half is smart enough to know what's going on, that stuff is usually going to be irrelevant, because if they try to do that, you go recognize it and you're going to cut them off yourself.
Mm-hmm. That's definitely true.
That's just my opinion. But, you know, you got some folks that find all kinds of reasons to have things go sideways or cross-eyed or whichever way you want to talk about it and things of that nature.
Oh yeah, it can get mixed up, man, and it can become something that it shouldn't be. And you know what? That should be one of our show topics. Like, if we could talk about, I guess, what it should be. Like, you know what I mean? Like, what is your opinion of those things? Like, you asked me about children and bank accounts and relationships and bank accounts, you know. We had to do that for another show, man.
You have to say that. Yeah, we got a way to get some other people involved in that, too, because definitely, you know, the whole thing about the banking and the finances and just life in general, that's part of what we do here on this show. So we can get ready to wrap it up, maybe give that number one more time in case anybody wants to call in the next 5 or 6 minutes. But definitely, you know, that's part of what we try to do. We try to, in our own conversations between you and me, as well as the show host, when she's not disappearing over there and having too much fun in Hawaii.
Yeah, it's the voice. Yeah. Good.
But we should not do that, or our regular guest, because I do know that the pilot guy will definitely be here next week, and I did send an email to Carl, so I think we're going to try to reschedule him for the 19th, because I do know that the pilot will definitely be here, because he's asked me several times, what am I supposed to call? What number am I supposed to call? So I'm expecting him to definitely be here on the 5th to talk about the airplanes and being one of the early pilots, early black pilots. So we're going to talk to him next Monday, and I talked to, are you ready for this? But the 12th, we got a serious guest lined up. That's why I said that Carl might have to come on the 19th. But I may put Carl and his other guest together on the 12th because they're both political. But on the 12th,
okay.
I talked to good friend Lamont Lilly. The reason that you may have heard Lamont Lilly's name is Lamont Lilly ran to be the president. He ran against Trump, but he lost. But that's because he was a third-party candidate. Because Lamont Lilly was running. Actually, he was running to be Pence. Because Lamont Lilly was the socialist candidate for vice president. And he will be on our show on the 12th. We will be talking to the socialist candidate for the vice presidency. And he will talk to us about, because he's been very much involved in Black Lives Matters events. And he's also definitely a socialist. And he's been involved in a lot of political stuff in the movement and things of that nature. So you got some interesting opinions. And I'm sure he's going to have some very interesting opinions, both about the electorate and as well as just Trump in general, because he and Monica Moreland was running to be the president, and Lamont was running to be the vice president. So he's on the speaking tour. We actually work together at Measurement, but as he told me, I don't have to come back to work. I'm making money on the speaking tour, and he's about to release a book that's going to talk about some of his experiences of being on the campaign trail as well as just the movement in general. So he will definitely be on the 12th. So we're looking forward to having a very interesting conversation with Mr. Lamont Lilly, and you know, I'm going to post some information on him on Facebook. But as I said, he was definitely the vice presidential candidate under, I think it was the socialist ticket, but it was definitely one of the party tickets from the left. So I don't think it might have even been the Communist Workers Party, but it was definitely one of the parties from the left.
Okay. And they'll be here on the Voice of the People. And remember, y'all can always call in at 646-668-8393. That's the phone line. You can listen to the podcast in its entirety on TuneIn or on blogtalkradio.com/Ty Jones The Voice. So that's where we are, and that's where we'll be, man. You have any final thoughts, Mark?
Well, just one final thought. You know, we are always looking, as like I said, I know Ty is, and you are as well, and of course I'm always looking. So if anybody's got any interesting things that they want to talk about, be that a book that they've written, be that some music that they've released, be that they could have been talking about a dissertation that they wrote. But if they've got something interesting that they are interested in, you know, we are very much, I think all three of us, I can fairly say, are into both social justice, politics, entertainment, and of course the arts, as well as sports. So who knows? Maybe we'll even have like an athlete one of these days call up on the show and tell us what it's been like being an NFL player or an NBA player. So I've got a couple of leads on that as well. So no matter what the topic is, if you've got some leads, if you yourself are a future guest, or you've got some leads, please do get in touch with us. You can reach me at bluesradio@gmail.com. You can find both Ty and myself and Dean Geronimo on Facebook. And if you just want to reach out to us, say, look, I'm interested in being on the show, and this is what I do, this is what I'm about, and we would love to hear from you. You know, we might not even agree with you, but if we would still love to hear from you. You know, if you're a diehard and you've heard for a fact that we are not, but if you're a diehard Trump supporter and you want to come on the show and try to backfire your support Trump, you can bring it on. And, you know, we will listen to you. We might not agree with you, but we will listen to you. And
we'll listen.
Hear your side of the argument.
That's very true, man. And we appreciate everybody who's been listening and to us, supporting us. You know, you can find us on Facebook at The Voice of the People. You can also leave messages there. But I'm going to close out with just a little history on what today is. You know, today is Memorial Day. It was started by former slaves on May 1st, 1865 in Charleston, South Carolina, to honor 257 dead Union soldiers who had been buried in a mass grave in a Confederate prison camp. They dug up the bodies and worked for 2 weeks to give them a proper burial as gratitude for fighting for their freedom. They then held a parade of 10,000 people, led by 2,800 black children, where they marched, sang, and celebrated. Today is the day. some, gave all gave some. And it's to remember the individuals who have passed on, who have fought for our freedom. So we remember them, we honor them, and we thank them for paying the ultimate price. And we hear the voice of the people salute them. So
we
that's our time
do salute
for the
them. That's just one quick thing. We definitely do salute them, and I do want to add this as well, because I had forgotten the fact that it was tied in to the what was going on with slavery and things of that nature. And don't forget, and we will talk about that in a later show, but there is another major holiday that is also dealing with slavery, and that was about the emancipation of us, and that's coming up next month. So we'll also have to be talking about Juneteenth in the near future, because I had forgotten that Memorial Day and Juneteenth actually have some a little bit of a connection, that connection of being tied in to the Civil War.
Yep, they definitely do, and Juneteenth is very special, and you know, we'll speak on that as it gets closer to the time. If you're not familiar with it, Google it. In this age of social media, you can Google anything and find it out. Get some knowledge in your brain and Google Juneteenth and what that flag looks like and why it came to be. So, you know, again, it's co-host Mark Lee. I'm the producer, Six Man Dean Geronimo. We're here. Where in the world is Ty Jones? We're going to figure that out. But that's our time for tonight, ladies and gentlemen. We thank you. We appreciate you. And we'll see you next week.
See you next week. Peace.